this week and for the next few weeks on The Hours, we're going to be talking about actionable tips that you can take to your program late season. And I love this topic because this is where you're likely having to make some adjustments in your schedule, your routine, whether it's you're shortening practice, you're in a conference tournament or a district area tournament where you have more games and practices. Maybe, God forbid, you have some injuries that you're navigating. But this time of the year, it always feels like the season starts to change and it just feels a little different. And Tyler is on our February cohort talking about winning at the right time. So all of this is relatable. We want to give you, as savvy coaches, the most tools that we can give you late in the season so you can be at your best when your best is needed. And we've gotten a lot of questions, whether they've come in through our community app, DM, or topics that have come in on consulting calls. And most of the topics or questions is, hey, what do we need to be focusing on? How long should practice be at this point of the year? I'm looking for a new blob or a new slob to install for the stretch run. And how do we get over the hump, or how are we peaking at the right time? And that last question is a great question. It came up on a one-on-one consulting call. It was like, how do we get over the hump and beat these teams that are like right there with us? Or we beat them in the first round of district. How do we make sure we get them again? Hard to beat the same team twice. And then how do I get my team to peak at the right time? And it's a great question because there's not one answer. I think that goes into your systems that you've established and the art of coaching. How do you manage your team, your schedule, calendar at the end of the year? Are we able to make game plan adjustments? Are we able to prepare without over preparing? I started to think, this came up on a consulting call, and I started to think of where do we even start? Because there's so many, it's such a multifaceted answer that what I would hope is that you have an identity or pillars in your program that we can treat as like roots of a tree, that those are your identity, that's your foundation. As savvy coaches, we know how important it is to have an identity, and your job as a coach is to nurture and strengthen those roots rather than try to add a lot of stuff, which I know we always talk about that as a savvy community, that simplicity wins. Don't feel the need to add. More is not better. Better is better. So what do we need to focus on? That answer is likely right in front of your face if you looked at your stats or if you just thought about your team and thought, what does my team not do great? Like when I think about, I wish we were better at trapping the post. I wish we were better at switching defensively. I wish we were more consistent in our denial or our ability to lock left or something offensively, right? Like we have this action in that we just don't get to it. Those would be things that I would start to spend 10 minutes on in practice rather than spend 10 minutes on doing something new. So if we're going to strengthen and nurture those roots, I want to start with practice because there are so many things as a coach that you cannot control during the year. You can't control what the other team's going to do offensively, defensively. You can't control injuries to an extent. You can't control who you're playing, but you have, as a coach, 100% control of how your teams practice. I would say at this time of the year, I wanted my teams to feel rested and ready. That was kind of my mantra. Whether I shared it with the team or not, it's like when I think of my team, I think what can be a separator is who is the most motivated, or who, like, our measure of readiness and our freshness in our legs and in our minds. Readiness is motivation to attend to a task. And I think at this time of year, sometimes it's difficult. We all hit those dog days of January where the season becomes long. And then in February, what we're hoping is our team is excited for the postseason. But sometimes we have a tendency to trend down. And that is because players are unhappy with roles, or your seniors start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, or maybe your underclassmen are starting to think about next year and what their role is going to be. We have this tendency to think grass is greener later. Hopefully that is not your team. If it is, I would start investing in your culture and one-on-ones, but it also could be a sign of burnout. It's a long season, so we wanted to obviously shorten practice. There's two elements of practice. It's intensity and volume, same as a workout in the weight room. So intensity is how hard we're going. Volume would be how long we're going. We want to shorten both of those, or significantly short one, or shorten one or the other. We always use what we called tactical periodization, which meant that we weren't going to expect our players to go hard every single day. As much as coaches, we think that might be the right approach. We would divide days into three levels. We would have red, yellow, green. You could do easy, medium, hard, one, two, three, whatever scale you wanted to use. But red or three or hard would be an intense day. High intensity, high volume is going to be a very taxing environment. Yellow would be right there in the middle, just kind of a normal practice. Maybe we lighten off the intensity a little bit, or the volume a little bit, or maybe just the environment isn't as intense as a red practice. So that's kind of your normal practice. Red is really when you want to kick them in the butt. Yellow, there's no objectives, or there's no motive outside of our objectives of practice. We're just going to get better at whatever goals that we have set for this practice. And then green would be low intensity, low volume, maybe confrontation would be detrimental to our team. We need to pump them with confidence. So a good weekly flow, especially this time of the year, let's assume that you're playing Tuesday, Friday. I always looked at what they're coming off of rather than what we have coming up. You don't, I just want to look at both. I always prioritize of where our bodies feel today rather than what I think they're going to feel like tomorrow. Let's assume that we're giving them weekends off. Okay. Some schools cannot practice on the weekends. I think your time could be better spent away from the gym. I think the mental and physical rest is so important. Remember, we want to be rested and ready. So a normal week, let's assume Saturday, Sunday is off. Monday, yellow practice, but we're gonna lighten the volume. I think at this time of year, hour and a half max, if you can get it to an hour and 15, probably even better. And I would take into account your film sessions as well. Like, how much are we taxing their working memory? We've got film of ourselves, film of our opponent. Maybe you're giving your team a scouting report, which Tyler talked about on our cohort. If you didn't check that one out yet, go look at that one. That was really good about giving players less and less and less and really focusing on yourself. Can we make our strengths so good that our weaknesses don't matter? So that's going to be our Monday. Tuesday, I would recommend a game day practice if you feel, if you're eliminating a weekend practice and wanted to get a little bit more practice time in. I would bring my guys in right after school and we'd do like a 45-minute run through. We wouldn't call it a walkthrough. We wanted it to be really spirited. It would be skills, shooting, game plan. And then we were out. They could go home, come back and eat. Wednesday would be my lightest day. We're going to have a green day on Wednesday. And that is clean something up from Tuesday's game and get the game plan in. Any adjustments that you have to make or anything that you're going to dive deep on. Tyler talked about, you know, what of our strengths align with their weaknesses, or how can we attack the other team's weaknesses? That's what I would be installing on Wednesday with my team. Doesn't mean we have to go live, doesn't mean we have to go hard, but we're going to get some mental reps and we're going to get some reps without a lot of contact and adversity. And then Thursday would be a harder practice. I think Thursday would be an intense but very short practice. At this time of the year, it could be like an hour and 15, where Wednesday is the planning part. Thursday is your rough draft. And what we're doing is, a lot of people would say Thursday should be your lightest day because it's the day before the game. Science is now telling us that we want to ramp up our central nervous system into the game. If you think of a normal football schedule, a lot of teams that play Friday will have their easiest day Thursday. What the trend now is, have your easiest day Wednesday, go a little harder Thursday leading into your Friday game. I am not the one to worry about injuries. I think they happen as long as you're giving your players adequate rest and you're allowing them to recover and you're not going too long. Then injuries are something I believe you can manage. So at this time of the year, our practice balance is going to be, you know, 25% skill, 25% team concepts, 50% competition. Obviously that could fluctuate, but that's a good rule of thumb. So our Thursday practice is more of a yellow practice. Right now, to have that flow of like 25% skill, 25% team concepts, and our competing being most of practice, because we want to be very efficient. We're eliminating all the fluff of our practice. We're not doing a drill just to do a drill. We're not doing a game because we like the game. If it doesn't relate back to the keys to winning, we don't do it. And I'm going to talk about objectives and keys here in a second. But as you go with your season, so maybe the week after, or the next week or the week after, what we started doing when we got really late is we would have an hour-long practice, 64 minutes. We would go 32 minutes of competition, and that would include any one-on-one, any small-sided games, any 5-on-5. At this time, it was mostly 5-on-5, and we would compete for 30 minutes. And I would want to get my competition in early. So a good flow of practice was warm-up, whatever you're doing for your warm-up. Hopefully you're playing basketball for your warm-up, some training games. We're going to compete, and then we can shoot and then do our post-practice work. We'll dive a little bit more into that as well. But there's going to be no fluff. We're straight to the point, and I would compete early in practice while you have your guys' legs or girls' minds fresh. Let's get to competing as early as possible. That way we're not cutting out the most important part of practice if we're going long. You know, we've all been in that situation where we're looking at our clock saying, we're behind, but I don't want to go too long. What do? We'll get the most important stuff in as early as possible when they're fresh. So go into practice with very clear objectives. And at this time of the season, we're going to be really streamlined, no fluff, where our objectives should really be the keys to winning the game. And I would challenge you to go no more than four objectives of practice. If you can keep it to three, that's even better. And always make them as specific as possible. So let's say a key to winning a game that's coming up. Today's Thursday, let's say Friday, our key to winning is to defend the three-point line. Okay, that's good. Can we make it great by identifying where they get their threes from? Is it transition? Is it from drive and kick? Or is it from their half-court offense, meaning cuts and screens? And then let's say it is off drive and kick. Then maybe a key to winning the game would be peel switching or scram switching, depending on what your terminology is. Maybe that is how we're going to eliminate threes, or maybe it's closing off. Tyler said this the other day. I've always had the same philosophy, but I thought it was very clearly communicated, as Tyler has a tendency to do. Every catch is a dribble. Every dribble is a pass, meaning no one shoots where they catch the ball. That is a great mantra or principle that you could adapt on defense or adopt on defense, is no one shoots where they catch. So every catch is a dribble. We're closing off the line. And then every dribble is a pass, meaning that we're going to help put our chest in front of the ball and force a kick out and rotation. So instead of defending 3-point line, our objective of practice would be closing off. So maybe our pre-practice or our warm-up would incorporate some closeouts or close-offs, our training games where we're two-way teaching, maybe offensive decision-making, and our defensive principles where we create some advantage games where offense has to read, do I have a shot or a drive? because the defense is closing me off. So we're coupling perception action. Do I have room, range, rhythm to get this shot off? If not, I have to drive it. So we're two-way teaching those concepts where those, you know, closing off is going to bleed throughout our hour and 15 minutes of practice. I also get the question of what do we need to focus on at this time of the year? It should be your objectives. And then if you're looking, your keys to winning, but also I would encourage you to come up with a key to losing. And we would call this our pre-mortem, which we're kind of getting the game plan here, but so I'll go on this quickly. What can't we do and win the game? Is it, you know, we can't turn the ball over and win the game? Okay, well, how does this team force turnovers? Or where do our turnovers come from? The answer is likely right in front of you. Look at their film. Maybe they shoot passing lanes. So we've got to design a game, or maybe we take the dribble out where our guys really have to play against players in the passing lane, learn how to get open, learn how to pass on time, on target, and hit offensive player as they break. Or look at your analytics, watch all your turnovers and see, hey, when or where do we turn the ball over? What type of turnovers? Are they travels? Are they illegal screens? Do we have a tendency to, you know, force passes so that they skill turnover decision? So I would look at those things right in front of you. And then think of it this way, what to focus on or what are our objectives at practice? Ask yourself, if you only had 20 minutes to practice, what would you do? That's going to tell you what the most important things are that you should practice. And then can we extend the theme of that 20 minutes, the objectives or desired outcomes from that 20 minutes into an hour and 15? So we're cutting really deep instead of going really wide. I think whenever you cut broad or wide is when you have a tendency to go over or have a tendency to just say, oh, if we practice for 10 more minutes, we'll be okay. But that extra 10 minutes a day really adds up throughout the course of the season. So make sure, one, we're shortening practice. We have very clear objectives. And then your pre-practice can be really intentional. And we really doubled down on our pre-practice at this time of year because we allowed players to pick their own pre-practice or their vitamins that they could work on. We called these Mamba minutes in honor of Kobe Bryant. We would ask players, what is something that you want to work on? Maybe it's a weakness that you want to work on developing. Maybe it's your weak hand. Or what is a strength that you want to just be unstoppable at this point of the year? And we'd allow them to self-organize and work on those. I think Tyler calls that the sandbox, that pre-practice time. You could also tell them what to do as far as their vitamins. Hey, I want you to get X amount of these shots, or I want you to work on a Barkley. I want you to work on weak hand development. So it can be coach-led. It could be player-led. And you can also establish KPIs, key performance indicators, where you would tell your players, hey, look, in the last section, in the last segment of our season, I really want you to focus on rebounding for us. So maybe they do some rebounding stuff. So a lot of different ways you can handle that. As far as your pre-practice goes, three different ways you can do that. But I would be very intentional in that time. So you're squeezing every minute you can. Our pre-practice would flow into our warm-up. I liked warming up with a ball. We'd go straight into training games, which means we're two-way teaching. We're using guided defense. And then we're right into our competition. We're going to shoot as much as possible. So if we weren't working skill or playing live, we were always shooting at this time of the year. And then your post-practice, I would recommend looking for every advantage that you can and try to squeeze as many advantages at the margins that are possible. One thing would be stretching after practice. What we didn't do any static stretching before practice because science tells us that we should not. We would do dynamic at the college level. At the high school level, to be honest, most years we just got warmed up playing basketball. And while we stretched, we would fill everybody's water bottle after practice and make them finish their water bottle before they left. It also created a great environment for team time, which one of these weeks we're going to talk about culture. Next week, we'll talk about game planning and you know, developing keys to winning and formulating film sessions. And then we'll have a culture one. What do we do at the end of the year culture-wise? But a great way to incorporate team time, culture, give you an opportunity to reflect on practice would be that stretch, drink, and just build some collisions or some opportunities for connection there so you could be intentional there. So hopefully this helps you develop a team that is rested and ready. Remember, you want to make sure that you are focused on your identity. Don't get away from who you are. Double down on the things that matter. Don't forget about culture, standards, offense, defense. Those are all of your roots, and we can't forget about those things because we're so focused on our opponent or we're so focused on adding things instead of diving deep into our principles of play. Hopefully that helps in developing a rested and ready team. If you have any questions or anything that we covered today as far as practice planning or intensity of practice, flow of practice, please reach out. We are here to help.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.